This is One True Pairing. This is the true story of more than just a man. This is the story of a man troubled with heartache, deceit, and vengeance. Follow along as you learn about the life and struggles of DJ Holmes.
This meeting is called to order, proclaimed DJ. DJ did a lot of work in preparation for tonight's Senate meeting. He spoke with all the senators, recounting votes and making calls to remind them of the meeting. DJ knew he couldn't match John Ross, the Senate pro temp's, skills at parliamentary procedures if DJ chaired the meeting. However, Robert's Rules of Order encouraged the presiding officer to help anyone who needs the help. That was his only recourse, and it wasn't going to be easy. He didn't trust senators to keep quiet about his plans to help them, so from what he sees in the attendance, he knew that tactic was a good one on his part because there were too many spectators present. However, he had to hope senators caught on to his plan. But he didn't have much hope in it. The meeting room was a mixture of reds and yellows, the school's colors. All chairs were red with a broad back on each. There were 21 chairs on the left-hand side for senators and about 15 chairs for other students, all red. The carpet was also a mixture of reds and yellows. At the front of the room was a large round table where DJ and Danielle always sat. On the wood-stained and glossed table was an assortment of reports for senators and other students to grab upon their entrance. Behind the table and above DJ's head was the yellow seal for Dawn. The union had just reopened following remodeling, so everything was brightly colored, new, and carried a clean smell even from the plush carpet. Senators, gossipers, and reporters all sat in their designated seats. It was like a funeral procession. It was quiet and orderly. Everyone could feel the energy in the room, and it wasn't excitement. Everyone knew some sort of battle was about to occur, but most people did not know who from. DJ felt a heavy burden because he was one of only a few people who knew what was really happening tonight. Tony was in attendance, and so were reporters from the campus newspaper, The Spectrum. The Senate was full of all its 20 members. In order to impeach Ivory, one member of the five had to jump ship. DJ was hopeful that the weakest link would have been DeMarco, one of his closest friends, Ivory's chief of staff. Chris was present, but of course, Ivory was not to be found. Chelsea, DJ's best friend and legislative aide to the Senate, was present. By practice, she never had to attend, but she knew this meeting was going to be popping. But DJ also wondered if Chelsea or even Chris was present because it afforded them the ability to be in public and no one questioned it. Danielle, one of DJ and Chelsea's friends and clerk of the Senate, attended all meetings. Somehow, Tony's ambush got out. The element of surprise was lost. At this point, everything he was trying to do might be lost, but he was going to fight as much as the senators allowed him to. Once DJ dedicated himself to something, he remained committed. DJ no longer had to worry about whether the Epsilons from Dawn would take him for trying to bring their frat brother down publicly. He empathized with the position his friends found themselves facing. If he weren't having sex with the president of the Epsilons at Wesley, he most likely would not have put himself in the position he knew he was about to put himself in. But he was grateful for the opportunity it afforded him. This was the right course of action, no matter the consequences. Ivy should not have purchased personal clothes with student funds without permission from the Senate. DJ's greatest concern at the moment was conducting a meeting he knew was going to be unruly. He knew he would have to do battle with John. DJ and John were roommates the year before and were extremely close. At one point, DJ considered both John and Chelsea to be his two best friends. Both John and DJ served as senators in student government the year before as well. John enjoyed arguing, but both relished the idea of outsmarting the other. To some extent, both had sufficiently met their match. DJ knew John had an idea of his true sexuality, and for some reason, never told anyone. DJ appreciated that fact, so their bond grew almost to a point where they were inseparable last year. DJ felt a bit of attraction for John, but did a very good job of pushing that aside for the sake of their friendship. His feelings for John were strong enough that he never wanted to hurt him purposefully. Obviously, DJ suspected John was gay too. One night last year, DJ happened to see John leaving Harry's room. John was talking to Harry like they were familiar, and more than that, they were talking about going out. Harry was keeping both of their secrets. Of course, the thought of Harry, DJ's savior, the evening Tommy followed him into the shower room, brought back the story Payne told DJ about his rape. DJ was momentarily distracted by all these thoughts. DJ was so distracted, he almost missed John's quick maneuver to reject the agenda as printed. Once DJ realized what John was up to, he couldn't hide his anger. In effect, John was attempting to end or null the meeting before it even started, but DJ was quick. DJ addressed John by his title and not as Senator Ross, as had been his practice all year. He was attempting to remind John of his higher obligations. Also, it was another signal to John that what was happening was not personal, all business. Other members of student government noticed the change, but only a few senators understood the tactic, but they would not help DJ tonight. Pro Temp Ross, your motion was never recognized by the chair. John seemed hurt by that. John had always assumed DJ would have followed suit. For a moment, John thought DJ didn't understand what he was trying to do. It wasn't until DJ added, "The chair will now entertain a motion to accept the agenda as printed." That, John knew, they were on opposing sides. At this point, all senators knew something was wrong, but no one but DJ and John understood the implication of this volley of parliamentary procedures. The entire school year, DJ relied upon John to help move all legislation because of his knowledge of parliamentary procedures. It was something senators had grown accustomed to. DJ's actions angered John, and that hurt DJ immeasurably. DJ knew he was shattering his relationship with John, but he wanted to do what was right. This time, John rose his hand and waited to be acknowledged. Because of his relationship with John and the questioning eyes of everyone in attendance, DJ felt obliged to recognize him, knowing it might cause a problem for him. John stood and immediately announced, "Division of the House." DJ's eyes flared. He couldn't believe what John was doing. He had every right to do it, but it was also in that moment that DJ realized John's tactic was simply to delay the issue. But everyone in the room saw DJ's reaction. DJ had built up a reputation with senators. They trusted him. They knew where DJ stood with respect to the issue of impeaching Ivory. But in that moment, they all knew where the fault lines were. DJ could sense their hopes were automatically transferred onto him. For the first time that evening, DJ feared the outcome. He did not want to disappoint anyone, and yet he knew the outcome of this meeting weeks ago. DJ composed himself and said the following, "Senators, a division of the House is when a member, Pro Temp Ross, basically says he believes the chair, me, has used his authority against the best wishes of the majority of this body, you, the Senate. If you stand with Pro Temp Ross, you are saying you agree that I have misused my authority as president of the Senate. In effect, you are saying you do not respect me in the night's meeting." Senators were puzzled now. While they understood DJ was trying to help them, they weren't altogether impressed with how DJ handled the situation, and yet they had to decide how to proceed. "So, please stand if you feel I have misused my authority," commanded DJ. Inside himself, DJ did not trust senators. He truly felt this to be the end of his fight before it even started. Three senators stood. DJ looked relieved. Senators also looked relieved because they were confused about what to do. Seeing this relieved look brought them to comfort. "Madam's clerk and secretary, please let the record show that the motion has failed." DJ decided to call his bluff, go on the offensive, and do exactly what John didn't want to happen. He called the male senator up to his chair, who had always let his intentions known about the matter. He whispered and asked him to suspend the rules to allow Tony Howard to address the student senate. The senator didn't know who she was or her relevance. DJ begged him to simply trust him. From that very spot, the senator asked for DJ's attention and moved to suspend the rules to allow Tony to speak. A chorus of senators seconded the motion. It was then that a reporter from the campus newspaper, The Spectrum, stood and remarked, "All these maneuverings are entertaining, but when does the Senate impeach Ivory? We have a deadline." This irritated all senators. They openly mused whether they should have reporters removed. DJ reminded them they would then violate the reporters' First Amendment rights. This realization tamed the Senate. Again, this open defiance and full agreement about something from all senators emboldened DJ. DJ introduced Tony as the immediate past loan director for SGA. He explained how it was she who handed out the information detailing SGA purchases by Ivory for clothes, how she helped purchase the clothes. DJ even admitted how a student brought information to him over the summer and how he confronted Ivory and their advisor only to be lied to. By doing this, DJ legitimized her presence and sealed his fate with the Epsilons at dawn. Senators agreed with DJ to suspend the rules to allow her to speak. At this point, John and all the other hopefuls, like DeMarco, wishing to become members of Epsilon and EZE, were visibly and audibly annoyed. All were annoyed except DeMarco. DeMarco was there the night DJ first learned about Ivory's escapades with Tony. In fact, it was just this summer when DJ told all his friends about what the student said about the clothes. DJ told DeMarco that he planned to confront Ivory about this. DeMarco understood finally why Tony was standing before them. DJ made an audible sigh of relief. He knew now that DeMarco made the connections, but DeMarco is a logical thinker. Understanding the background is one thing, but putting everything together is another issue. At the very least, DJ knew he had not lost his friend with what was about to happen. Before DJ allowed Tony to speak, he stood from his seat, which was not something DJ normally did. DJ did this to bring attention to what he would say next. DJ cautioned her, "Be careful not to make this a circus, or you will lose what you seek to have happen. Remember, as senators, they can only vote on matters that are impeachable. Present evidence, such as what you have in your hands." DJ was referencing the copies of the receipts from clothes purchased and was also helping Tony with her arguments. DJ hoped she would have been classy, but knowing her as he did, he knew that wouldn't happen. He could only hope for the best. He needed Tony to present the flyers. He needed her to ask Chris if that was Ivory's signature on the copies in her hands. He needed her to connect the dots that he couldn't because he was stuck in that chair. Again, he knew he was hoping for a lot. "My name is Tony Howard. As Vice President DJ Holmes told you, I was the loan director until Ivory fired me after we had sex. He was my boyfriend's best friend. We had sex a lot. I went down on him in the SGA office and everything. You should impeach him for that." This was Tony's opening statement. DJ was amazed. The entire room was amazed. The reporters from the Spectrum immediately walked out. She was oblivious to her actions. By the time she stopped talking, at least three senators left. While she continued to embarrass herself, DJ would run outside to beg senators to stay until the end. One senator was in tears. "You know, DJ, please don't tell anyone, but Ivory did something similar to me as well. I'm not foolish enough to make a spectacle out of it, but as soon as she started talking like that after you warned her, I knew all was lost. You did too. Everyone did. Why did you bring her up? Why?" asked the female senator. "Because there were not enough votes. Senators continued to ask me why we hadn't done anything. I kept telling all of you that you had to bring something up in black and white. None of you did that. None. I don't have the power you have to speak up during meetings or to bring legislation. This was the only trick I had to spur you all into action. I just didn't know she would be so reckless. Why didn't you coach someone? Come on. Who could I coach that could withstand John? But what most people don't know is there were never enough votes to impeach Ivory. 5 senators would never have voted to impeach him. Yeah, I don't know why they're doing that. I'm an EZE and we don't even like Ivory like that. Clearly, you don't want to be in Epsilon, so I can say this to you now. No one from either chapter is supporting Ivory as SGA president. His chapter is still cool with him, but not as SGA president. DJ was crushed. He stuck his neck out for a cause he knew he would lose, and now all he has done is anger the dean of the next line, Ivory. There's no way he could pledge at Dawn now. Even if they chose him, Ivory would make it a living hell for DJ. As always, this is your boy DJ Holmes, and you've been listening to New Love. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of New Love with DJ Holmes. It is truly appreciated. If you listen to me from Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Stitcher, Breaker, Google Podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcast, CastBox, or Overcast, you can contact me directly by emailing djholmes1pairing@gmail.com. All you have to do is record yourself and email your message to djholmes1pairing@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening to New Love.